Let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening thankful for all the many blessings that you've given us in this life. We're thankful, Father, for this time we've been able to gather together to study your word. We're thankful, Father, for the study, for your word, the preservation of it, Father, for us to be able to go back to look at the sermons that were taught in the first century to those that would first join your church. Father, help us to take those things that we've learned to be able to use them as we go out into the world and to teach others. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are not able to be with us this evening due to sickness. We pray, Father, that you would your hand would be upon them, that you would return them to their much-wanted health. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that have recently lost loved ones. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with them, that you'd give them comfort, that you would help them, Father, to as well reflect on their own lives, Father, to realize the brevity of life and to make sure that relationship with you is what it ought to be. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that may be traveling. We're especially mindful, Father, of those in our military. We pray, Father, that you would be with them, that you would give them safety, and that you would give them a safe return, Father, especially those that are serving in areas overseas. Especially, Father, we're mindful of Noah Gassaway as he's away from his family. We pray, Father, for his safety and for his speedy return. Heavenly Father, we pray for our government and those that represent us in that government. We pray, Father, that they would seek after your wisdom and your knowledge, Father, in the things that they, the laws that they write and the things that they do for this country. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be the one that will bring us the message this evening. We pray, Father, that you would give him a ready remembrance of those things that he'd bring to us, and that we will take those things, Father, and apply them to our lives. Father, we're so thankful for your Son and for the sacrifice that he gave and for your love, Father, that through which we are able to come before you. We can bring our concerns and cares to you, Father, and that we have faith and confidence, Father, that you will hear those things, Father. We pray, Father, that you would forgive us of those things that we've done in error of your word, and that you would help us to recognize those wrongs, Father, that we would turn our lives in the direction that you would have us to go, Father, and to seek after you and to follow you. We pray all these things, Father, through the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would please open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. As we've been going through these lessons in the book of Acts where we're studying the sermons, I want us to just take a minute to remember what the reaction was to the sermon. In Acts chapter 2, earlier in Acts chapter 2, we saw the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and they had the ability to speak in different language, and the multitudes listened to that, and Peter began to preach from Joel chapter 2, explaining how the prophecy was fulfilled, and the people were pierced to the heart concerning what they had heard. And so, When the lesson was over, what was it that happened? Well, let's look in verse 41 through 47 through the end of the chapter. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so we see a very good reaction to Peter's lesson. It says that they gladly received the word. It doesn't say they met Peter out back and said, "That was a fine sermon, Peter." That's what happens today, isn't it? That was a fine sermon. But they didn't just, maybe they thought it was a fine sermon, but they did something. And what it says here, I just want to notice a few things here. Number one is that we see immediate growth, of course, and about 3,000 added at this time. But when you turn over to the next chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. And so you're seeing that the church is having a rapid growth here. Certainly the excitement of knowing that Jesus was risen from the dead and seeing the miracles of the apostles here certainly is not something that we see today, but we have the record of that. But the gospel still causes growth and changes in people's lives. So it says that they gladly receive the word of the Lord. So this means that it sank in. It had a change on their lives. And so they didn't just hear the words and then go away and forget about what it was that they heard. It certainly tells us here what it was that they did. First of all, it says that many were baptized, obviously. And so they were motivated to act upon what they heard. And many times today when lessons are heard, not in just, whatever religious group it might be, people will attend a religious service because they want to be inspired or they want to feel good. And certainly being energized and uplifted might be real important to some. But if you are guilty, as these people were, of the blood of Christ, what did they need to feel? They needed to feel guilt. They didn't need to feel happy. They could feel happy after they responded to the word, but walking away from Peter's lesson and not having any kind of change in your life, I feel so uplifted, I feel so happy, you wouldn't get that. And so Peter preached what it was that they needed to hear. He preached the forgiveness of sins. He preached how they could be forgiven of sins by repentance and obedience and baptism. So number one, the church is growing because people respond to the word and it means something in their life because they have a reaction to it. And what we see next is that as they continued as disciples, it says that they devoted themselves to various things. And there's a list here of what they devoted themselves to. First of all, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. And so what does that mean? Well, Peter preached a lesson which we have gone through in depth. But, there were other things for them to learn. There are other things that maybe we don't have recorded for us everything that it was that was told to them. But we quickly learn here that the teaching of the apostles was important and that they considered it to be authoritative. It was something that was important in their lives. And Jesus promised his apostles that they would be guided into the truth. And so that's what we see here in the first weeks and months of the New Testament church, is that is happening. The apostles are being guided into the truth and they are devoted to that truth. And so what does it mean to be devoted? It doesn't mean that you're have a passing acquaintance with it. It means that you're actually doing it. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul explains this process because he says, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And so the continuance of the teachings of the apostles to help others grow in their faith is certainly super important here. A true disciple is one who is devoted to the teaching of the Word of God and learning of the Word of God. And so it's not just exhibited by listening to sermons or coming to Bible class, but those things certainly are important. You know, where you see true devotion is where it changes somebody's life. Not that they, not just being able to quote the Scripture, which that's great too, that's important, but I've seen some that can quote Scripture that didn't seem to live by it at all. And that's not being truly devoted to the Word of God. So that's one of the things that we can learn about the reaction here in Acts chapter 2, is that we need to be like these New Testament Christians and be devoted to the Word. Also, they were devoted to fellowship. And as we've mentioned before, and you probably heard lessons on this many times, that unfortunately fellowship is a word that has been misconstrued. And we think about it as having a meal together, or as coming together to eat. And that's not the concept that you see in the Scriptures. But one of the things that we do see here in verse 44 is that all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And so what you see here is that these Christians are joining together for a common goal and a common purpose. And the situation here in Jerusalem was that there were those that had a need, and others helped take care of that. It says that they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. And so this shows their devotion to one another. I think many times when we read this, we just want to pass right over it, or we want to say, well, you know, this is not a command to us to sell everything that we have and give it to others. And there's, you know, not Scripture telling us that we have to, you know, live in a communistic society where everybody has the same thing. But, you know, that there is a need here that was being addressed. I think maybe sometimes we're so materialistic in our thinking, we want to excuse that we're not going to do this, or we're not going to talk about it. But we need to think about that. What is our attitude toward those that are in need? Are we willing to do as these Christians did and help those that had a need? So let's not be so easy to be dismissive of this. Or, you know, one of my Frankisms, my dad's thoughts on, you know, if you get to a difficult passage, you observe the Passover, you pass right over it. And so there's some passages that we're not going to observe the Passover. We're going to read it and see what it says. Does it apply to us, and what can we learn from it? And, you know, there's some things that when you read it, well, I don't want to do that. And so maybe this is one of those things. But let's not be dismissive of it. Let's learn from this that these Christians, they were devoted to the Word and they were devoted to each other. And you see that right away here. They were certainly devoted to each other when they were selling what they had and using it to help each other out. And so let's not fight against that concept. But they were also together and devoted to one another in worship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And certainly that's a big reason why we come together on the first day of the week. The reason that we assemble it, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember the Lord's sacrifice that He gave for us. And this is one of the things that's described as what they are devoted to. And they were very steadfast in that practice. And it is something that when we get up on Sunday morning to come to worship, is it something that's drudgery? Is it something that just wish that I didn't have to get out of bed. And what I've always found amazing is we probably get up a lot earlier on other days of the week when we go to work, but why does it seem so much harder to get up to come to services on Sunday? And why would we consider, you know, coming together at any time of the week, you know, much less on Sunday, to be with other Christians? Are we devoted to God? Are we devoted to Christ? Are we devoted to each other? Something that we are truly devoted to, we wouldn't have to be talked into it or begged all the time to do it. You know, if somebody called you and said, "I've got, you know, tickets to, you know, whatever SEC team you root for. I've got tickets for you. Do you want to?" "Oh yeah, I want to do that." Or "Do you want to go see this new movie that has a John Williams score in it?" "Oh yeah, well, I'm going to go do that." Absolutely. Nobody would have to beg me. But what about worshiping God? If you're devoted to something, you don't have to be begged to take care of it. You don't have to be begged to worship God. And certainly when you look at the reaction that these Christians had to the gospel in Acts chapter 2, yeah, I'm very glad that we have gone through these lessons, but there's, you know, practical applications, and one of the big practical applications in Acts chapter 2 is what did they do with what they learned? And they were obedient to it, they were baptized into Christ, and they had a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, and with each other, and you can see it evidenced in the things they were devoted to. Devoted to the Word. Devoted to breaking of bread and in prayers. Devoted to each other in the way that they took care of each other. And isn't that the same thing that we should be devoted to today? Now that about takes care of it, doesn't it? When we are devoted to God, devoted to each other, and devoted to the Word, if we apply those principles, the other things are going to fall into place in our life. So let's remember those things. Let's have the same respect that they did for the apostles' doctrine, which came from Jesus Christ. Let's have respect for the Word of God and be devoted to that and live it every day of our life. If you haven't done that, if you have not been devoted to God as you should, or haven't started that life, we'd invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
Bow with me, please. Our dear, most wonderful, heavenly, blessed Father, we come before you at this time humbly in all of your power and strength, the control you have over the world. We're so thankful for the place that you've given us, for the day that we've had today, that we might be able to continue through our daily lives and the confidence of your word and with the comfort of you. Lord, please help us to remember that each day is not promised to us, that we might be ready to see you in judgment, that we might live according to your word and as close to your Son as we can, as perfect as he was. Lord, please be with us as we are out in the world, as we've studied tonight. We thank you for the time that you've given us to learn more from the sermons of your apostles, of how we might be able to bring others to your light, to show them the wonderful path that is laid out for all who might choose to walk it, with the reward at the end that awaits for them and for us all. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go back into the world and leaving the comfort of our brethren here. Please help us to remain strong, to remember the examples that we have in your word, to be able to be that shining light, to draw others towards you. Lord, just please help us, keep us safe as we're away from one another. Please allow us to be able to support one another and as brethren, to encourage each other. We ask that you be with us until we meet into our next appointed time, as thy be your will. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.